You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, and I would rather be no one. Proud of who I am, I'm proud of what we do, except for maybe Eddie Miller. No, it's Saturday, November the 2nd. I'm here with Eddie the Bombardier Miller tonight, who is filling in for Keith Alexander. Gotta thank Winston Smith for his extended contributions to tonight's show. With Keith being unexpectedly out at the last minute. Keith will be back next week, so don't fret. But Winston filled in more than sufficiently. And, of course, Rob, our guest tonight. Rob, with the practical advice that we can all use. That's what this show is all about. You know, that's what this show is all about. We are, without question, unequivocally and unapologetically pro-white. And we will say that with pride, that we serve primarily as a voice for European Americans. That's who we seek to advance and for whom we advocate. Just as other racial groups have their own organizations and media spokespeople, we serve as a voice for ours primarily. But for anyone who agrees with what's right for all Americans, they are more than welcome to support our work. And to be completely honest and forthright with you, we have blacks and we have Jews who not only listen to this show, but support us financially. There is a black lawyer in Philadelphia who is a supporter of us. I believe his name is Bill. I won't give you his full name, but he contributes each and every quarter when we do a quarterly fundraising drive. He always sends in a little bit, and he writes the most heartfelt and eloquent. And I'm not just saying this, folks. I mean, he really writes very, very well. And it's always great to receive correspondence from him. But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, we are who we are, and we are proud of who we are. As I said at the top of the show, you know, it should not be misconstrued as hate to want to preserve a unique way of life and advance your folkways. We've been covered by a lot of the world's premier media, from CNN to the New York Times, the London Times, and God, you forget them all after nearly a decade. But when we are covered by those media, we are generally covered objectively. We are introduced as conservative talk radio spokesmen and so on and so forth, and that's what we are. But you will find things on the internet that define us as things that we are not, such as a hate group. Now, yes, we welcome that when it comes from people like the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, that include people like Josh Duggar and James Dobson as hate group leaders. I mean, you know, that's fine. But that's not who we are. You know, these people have never once interviewed us. They've never talked to us. And apparently they've never listened to the show. Yeah, I'll give you a little background. Has anyone ever seen The Help? You know that the big movie, The Help, where the black maids worked for the white southern families and they were mistreated and they couldn't go to the bathroom in the house. And well, let me tell you something. I lived that in real life. My grandparents had black maids. And I had quite fond memories of them growing up. Blossie and Miss Lemon, they had two maids. Blossie was one and Miss Lemon were the other. Now, unlike the movie, they didn't raise us. They didn't teach us everything good. You know, we had parents and grandparents for that, but they were, for the most part, members of the family. They didn't go to separate bathrooms and they didn't eat at separate tables. They were great people. You know, black people before the so-called civil rights era, before this Marxist revolution, they had pretty good relations with whites, and we had good relations with them. My grandfather, who couldn't read, my grandfather was illiterate on my father's side, couldn't read, couldn't write, but became a millionaire. Unfortunately, his fortune didn't pass on to me. But he was a very well-off man. He couldn't read, couldn't write, but he started a construction company in the 1960s, and it did very well for a while. And I loved all four of my grandparents, and I was very close to them. But my grandfather in the 1960s had some black men that worked for him. And let me tell you something about these guys. I knew them, and I got to know them after I was born. These were black men who started working for my grandfather in the 1960s and worked for him. And my grandfather died in 94. Some of these black fellas worked for my father, took over the company in the early 90s, worked for my grandfather and father's company until they died in the 2000s. I mean, you're talking about black men in their 70s working hard labor, pouring concrete, tough work. And never had a crossword with them. Now, I grew up with blacks, and I know blacks. We had black help in the house. I loved them. We had people, workers who worked for my family's company and went to their funerals. They were some of the best men you will ever know. They worked harder than any of these guilty white liberals will ever imagine. And they were part of the family. I treated them with respect, and they treated us with respect. It was please and thank you and yes, sir, and no, sir to them. That's how we were raised. And in my daily life, I'm out in public. I'll open the door for anybody. You know, I treat everyone politely. I treat everyone with respect. Okay? That doesn't change the fact that I'm proud of who I am. I love everyone. But I love my people, the people who share a common ancestry and folkways and heroes and traditions and holidays and holy days. People that you have a little bit more in common with, you tend to gravitate to. And this soft totalitarianism that is forced integration is a recipe for disaster. Because the black people that I knew growing up were great people. And there are some. It's true, but the vast majority, 95% plus voted for Obama. I don't have political ideology in common with those folks. And you're only going to welcome friction if you're forced to associate with people that you don't have things in common with. Now, that's not to say that you can't treat them politely, as I was always taught to do, and as I always will do, and as I will teach my daughter to do. We will treat everyone with respect. We will treat everyone decently. But at the end of the day, it doesn't change the fact that, yes, I knew some great black men who worked harder than I've ever had to work. We had people that helped in the house that were great women, and I loved them. But it doesn't change the fact that, as a whole, whites have been able to maintain a level of society that other people haven't been able to do. IQ scores, for instance, are incontrovertible. Crime and violence and, poor impulse control, these are things that afflict minorities. Now, it can be debated why that is, but it can't be debated that that's a fact. And see, that's what this show attempts to flesh out. We will treat everyone with love. But, you're not a racist for mentioning the truth. And the people that I knew, unfortunately, are exceptions to the rule with the minority community that have a chip on their shoulder and a hatred towards whites that I've never felt towards them. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about that a little bit more. Stay tuned, everybody.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Anyway, folks, you know, I had not intended originally to bring forth that last segment, but as God is my witness, I was laying in bed this morning. The first thing, and for no reason at all, it had not even been on my mind prior. I woke up this morning, I was laying in bed, my wife was still asleep. It was early, and I was like, you know what? It was just laid on my heart to share that with the audience, and, just, you know, because we can be real with our family. We can be real with our listening audience. It doesn't change the fact that I am a proud pro-white leader, and that's what I identify as, a paleo-conservative pro-white leader. But, you know, we can also be honest and real about things that have happened in our past. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, I wish that the black community were more like the people that I knew growing up, Amen. The people that worked for my family, and more like Jesse Lee Peterson and Zola Foster. Listen, I have more in common with Pat Buchanan's running mate than I do a guilty white liberal. You know, and if I had to choose company, I would choose, you know, again, she is 0.00001% of the black community, but people like Azalea Foster and Jesse Lee Peterson, I dare say I have more in common with than these guilty white liberals. You want to know who attacks the political cesspool? I don't know if we've ever been attacked by a black group. It's all white people that attack the political cesspool. If you think about it, you know, and Jews, if you count the Southern Poverty Law Center, but in ADL, but for the most part, black groups have not attacked the political cesspool. Black groups have not identified or tainted us with the, you know, neo-Nazi or bigot or whatever, you know, these silly things that they call us. It had been black groups that do that. It's been white groups. It's been white liberals. It's been white media talking heads that have done these things. And so, you know, that's something that needs to be said. Now, at the same time, I do obviously admit that the people that worked for my family growing up, the black people that I knew as a child, are not, unfortunately, representative of the majority of their people. The majority of blacks now, after 40 years of indoctrination and Marxism and civil rights, you know, fairy tales, have a chip on their shoulder. The majority of black people hate white people, and they vote against, they vote for candidates that they think will stick it to whitey. They believe that whites have an unfair advantage, And they see race, whether or not guilty white liberals do or not. But even those people that hate me, I run into them at a restaurant, and they're standing on the other side of the door, and I don't know what they believe, and they don't know what I believe. I'm going to open the door for them. You know, it's just the way I do things. Anyway, Eddie, we got a lot more to cover tonight, and I hadn't necessarily intended to do that, but it just goes to show that you can freely admit, as we do on this show every week, that when we go to work every Saturday night, it's primarily for the benefit of European Americans. It's for white Christians. But that's not to say, and I offer those reflections from my own experience as a child and growing up in my formative years. It's not to say that we hate anyone. I don't hate anybody. And I've got more experience in cultural diversity than our detractors do. I spent more time as a child with blacks than the administrators of the Southern Poverty Law Center did. I played on basketball teams with blacks. You know, my dad was a coach in my rec league. He was my coach in high school when I played basketball. I know blacks more than the SPLC does. And it gives me the opportunity to say, yes, there are those in that community that have been good to my family. And I can certainly, I certainly withhold the right to criticize the majority of the members of that community, the rule rather than the exception, that I believe are inflicting great damage onto the first world nation that America used to be.
James, switching gears just a little bit here. You know, you mentioned the our Jewish brothers earlier. You know, I asked James the questions during the break, and I'm going to ask our audience the questions. As you probably know, a lot of the original Christians were Jewish converts. I told James that for all we know, you know, if we went back 50, 75 generations, maybe, who knows, maybe James Edwards, maybe Eddie Millers, maybe Sam Bushman's, maybe we're Jewish. Okay, in the beginning, all right, if you're a Jewish convert, are you still a son of Abraham, according to the people, the likes of John Hagee and the people of the head of the Southern Baptist Convention? Or are you going to be kicked out? Are you still part of the elect? You know, do you have to be Jewish to be one of these special people? My people, Israel, as God would say. You know, once you because I go to these churches, and, you know, I can tell you people that I would say, and I'm a Baptist, and a lot of the Baptist people seem like they almost worship Jews. I mean, they, you know, Christ takes a back seat. They worship Jews. And I was just thinking, you know, maybe I have these weird thoughts, but what if the Jews, let's say, for instance, you got a fifth generation Jew. Say 200 years ago, a Jewish family from Poland came to America, and they converted over to Christianity 150, 200 years ago. Will they still be worshipped and fawned over by the Southern Baptist Convention, you know, or will they be castigated because they're no longer Jews? Will they be during the great millennium, you know, in Revelation, when all the Jews flock back to Israel and, you know, what they get, the 144,000 are going to be saved and all that? Well, I submit to you the 144,000 Jews that are going to be saved are going to have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'm thinking, what happens to the rest of them? Because, you know, God says that I'll make Abraham's seed as numerous, if you can number the stars in the heavens, if you can number the grains of the sand on the seashore, you know, that will be that many, that the seeds of Abraham, sons of Abraham, will number that many. Well, if you've out of that number, you've only got 144,000 that are going to be saved. What's happened to the rest of them? And the question I got, people, if you're Jewish, I know maybe I'm kicking a dead horse, and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you automatically exclude yourself from being the chosen ones, part of the special people? How about that? Think about that. Let me know, somebody.
Well, a good rhetorical question, Eddie, but I don't know about you, but I trace my ancestry back to the very first white person. You may be part Jewish, but no, all seriousness. No. But look, here's the thing. Yeah, was Adam a Jew? Was he white? Who knows? Well, that's what we're talking about. But listen, here's the thing, folks. Be proud of who you are, no matter who you are. And see, that's the thing. Everybody else embraces that for themselves. But if you're white, you must be a Nazi or a ne'er-do-well or a supremacist, you know, for taking that for yourself. And we dismiss that. Listen, we're proud to be white. We wouldn't have it any other way. and I'm going to teach my daughter to be proud to be white. I'm going to teach her to want to marry a man who shares common values and who has a common ancestry as we do. And I don't think that's hatred at all. I think that's completely healthy and natural, and we are a pro-white show, and we're going to continue to advance the banner of Christendom and of, you know, for the people of European descent. But, it just goes to show we offer these personal reflections from time to time, and it doesn't matter. I know I'm not absolving myself from any of the future ridicule and distress that I'll suffer at the hands of our detractors. I didn't save myself any future condemnation as a racist by saying the things that I've said this first 30 minutes, nor was that the point. But from time to time, we do like to, you know, set the record straight and let people know exactly where we stand. And we stand with you. We stand with our people first and foremost, but we stand against no one. And I think that's just a healthy way to go about doing one's business. Now, when we come back from this next commercial break, we're going to be talking with Eddie the Bombardier Miller about his latest exploits. Do you know that Eddie Miller ran 22 miles this morning? 22 miles this morning in training for a 26-mile marathon that he'll be running in December. We're going to talk. Eddie did this last year for the first time. This will be his encore 26-mile marathon coming up in just a couple of weeks. We're going to learn more about that. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards, Eddie Miller. You know, reflecting upon what we've shared with you the first half hour of this, our third and final hour of tonight, you know, I want to be clear. There's nothing that I despise more than someone who gets accused of being a racist and scurries to say, oh, no, I can't be a racist because I have black friends. You know, it's been 9 years. I've been on the radio 9 years. I never mentioned the fact about those people who worked for my grandfather's company or some of the help we had around the house growing up. Because, you know, I don't qualify my activism based upon people I've known in my life in a secondary manner. You know, whether I've met a black person in my life or never met one at all wouldn't change the fact that I would have these very same beliefs. But it just goes to show for a point of reference that this is, in fact, the truth. I enjoy sharing personal stories from my childhood with the audience because I enjoy developing a relationship with the audience that we have. But the fact of the matter remains is that what we are trying to do here with the Political Cesspool Radio program is redefine what pro-white activism is all about. It's not rooted in hate, it's rooted in love. Love for our people, our history, our culture, our ways. And that's who we're here to cater to. For the non-white members of our audience that support our work, God bless you. We're happy to have you. I wish more people in your communities saw things the way you do. But the fact of the matter is, we're here to cater to one people and one people only, and that's primarily white Christians. And for the white people who aren't Christians, we welcome you as well. And I know we have many listeners who aren't believers or don't share our faith. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is show people that you can be pro-white and not be a Klansman or a Nazi. You can be a good, God-fearing, hard-working, tax-paying American. You can be a great father, a great husband, and you can be pro-white. And you know what? This should be the model of all white people. All white people should embrace the mission statement and the founding principles of the Political Cesspool Radio program. And that's what we're trying to do. And whether or not I had a black maid or black people work for my grandfather's family or not, it doesn't matter because what we stand for stands alone. But it is a part of my embroidery. Those are things that occurred in my life, and I'm happy to share those with you without taking pride in them or shame in them. It's just a matter of fact. But anyway, we got to get to Eddie the Bombardier Miller now. Now, Eddie ran 22 miles in training this morning. You'll remember last year, folks, that Eddie ran in the St. Jude Marathon. He ran 26.3 miles. Was it 26.3? 26.3 miles at 65 years of age. Now he's 66, and he'll be running in just a couple of weeks in his third marathon. Third marathon this year for St. Jude. He ran in the St. Jude Memphis Marathon last December. He ran in a Nashville Marathon earlier this spring. In training now for his third major marathon in 12 months. Eddie, by all means, tell us why you're doing it and why it's so important that it be shared with the audience.
Well, I'll tell you, James, I went to my first St. Jude Marathon December 2011. I never crossed my mind to run a marathon, but I'll tell anybody. I was a new Christian, and I had a supernatural experience there, and I told God I wanted to run a marathon for St. Jude, and I promised God if he didn't kill me and if he would just help me, that I promised him I would run the St. Jude Marathon for 2012. I couldn't run one lap around the field, the track at Memphis State, which was 1/4 of a mile. Getting with the St. Jude Heroes, getting with Breakaway here in Memphis, with the greatest people in the world, Breakaway running, they worked with me. They got me through my first marathon, December 1st of 2012. Never had even run a 5K. I'll tell you why I did it. If people, a lot of people out there know I'm a registered nurse, and I got involved with the children at my last nursing gig with Methodist University Hospital here in Memphis, working in the pulmonary ward where we have cystic fibrosis children. And as you may know, cystic fibrosis children are terminal. Most of them don't live past about 19 or 20 years old. I got very, very attached to some of them. And to this, it took me 2 years to be able to talk about a particular one who died. I won't mention his name on the radio. Well, I'll tell you what, we have St. Jude Children's Research Hospital here in Memphis. It's probably the only, it's the one of a kind hospital in the world. Let me tell you a little bit about St. Jude, why I love it so much. I don't care what race you are. You can be black, you can be Mexican or mestizo. I don't care what country you're from. If you're from the, listen people, if you're from the lower 48 United States and you have a physician's referral to St. Jude, St. Jude and Federal Express Corporation will have you at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital within 48 hours. And let me tell you what, in 1962, when St. Jude Children's Research Hospital opened up here in Memphis under Danny Thomas, he's the one that was initially behind it. And I remember I was here in Memphis when it opened. The survival rate for cancer, for the most common types of childhood cancer, was less than 4%. I'm told now by my people at St. Jude that the survival rate is well over 80%. We're shooting our goal for 2020 is to have that above, our survival rate above 90%. Let me tell you something else about St. Jude. Since 1962, not one parent has ever been billed one dime from St. Jude. They will accept your insurance if you have it, but that's all they take. If you don't have insurance, that is of no avail. There's no concern. Not only that, not only is all the treatment free at St. Jude, St. Jude has been on the cutting edge of developing many types of cures for all types of childhood cancer. And listen, they share that research with the whole world. They don't guard anything. They don't make a dime off their research. And listen, not only the parents not charged a dime, if their parents were from out of town, they stay, they get room and board free. I've been in the Ronald McDonald House here in Memphis that's run by St. Jude and McDonald's. And they have free room and board. Not only that, they have a fully operational kitchen. And not only Ronald McDonald House, but they also have the Target House, the Grizzlies House, the Federal Express House, the Harrah's House. People from all over the world come here. They get free room and board. They have a pantry where they're coming in late at night for treatment. They're coming in from out of town. They can cook. They will come in 12 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. They can cook them a meal from the food in the pantry, get stuff out of the refrigerator, fully microwave, gas ovens, you name it. Not only that, they supply transportation for the parents to and from major appointments in the city. I tell you, people, I'm a registered nurse, been in business, I'm 66 years old. I've been in every hospital here in Memphis. I've been in hospitals in the United States. I've never seen a place like St. Jude. Now, I'm going to tell you something really personal. Like I said, I'm 66 years old, and I run against some people, probably the average age is probably 24 years old. So in training, to keep them from looking for Papaw, and I'm kind of a fixture around there, I'm a mascot at especially Breakaway here in Memphis. They always look out for Papaw. To keep them having to be out there after most of the young people are through, depending on how far we run, like this morning when we ran 22.37 miles, I left at 5:09 when all the young folks left at 6 o'clock. See, I get the jump like that on them, so they won't have to be looking for me like at 10:30 in the daytime. You know, I'll finish about in the middle of the pack. But the point is, by the time every time we have a long run in Midtown, we always go by St. Jude. And I'll tell you what, I've been there hundreds of times. I'm going to tell you what, people, this morning was no different. I'm there an hour before daylight, and when you go up into the driveway, up in what they call Alsac St. Jude, which is the building there that houses most of the fundraising activities of St. Jude, you can see the main building there in the very top. It says St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, founder Danny Thomas. I drop to my knees every single time, and I pray. God, do I pray. I pray for those children. I think I pray harder for the parents than I do the children, because if you've ever seen a child die of cystic fibrosis, if you've never seen one die of cancer, you don't know what misery is. I've seen it, and I've been attached to these kids, and I'm serious, right? It's hard for me to talk. I'm really struggling to keep from crying, because this morning when I did my prayers, I usually do, I just bust out crying, and you don't know how much snot you have in your body until you start crying like that. And I finally have to get up and leave on my run. And for the first half mile after, that's about the 6 mile mark. After about a mile, about a half a mile to a mile past St. Jude, I finally drive. But it's the most moving experience I've ever seen, I've ever had. I'm telling you what, people, we're getting ready to come to a break. I'm going to tell you some more about St. Jude. And I'm going to beg you when we come back. I'm begging you to help me with my campaign to raise money for St. Jude. I've contributed $250 myself, which that's a lot of money for me. But when we come back, I'm going to talk more about St. Jude, if you will let me, if you'll allow me.
Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution. The Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Which do you love best, Thanksgiving dinner or leftovers? The meal takes such time and effort, you wish it was easier so you could have it more often. Well, right now it is, right now you can. Imagine your family enjoying the ultimate comfort food easily during stressed out times of a disaster or emergency, or outdoors while camping or hiking. The freeze-dried feast from Freeze Dry Guy is a special case of Thanksgiving dinner, ready for you any day of the year for at least 25 years. Freeze-dried turkey tetrazzini, green beans, dehydrated potatoes and sweet potatoes, yes, even dessert. This delicious feast is ready to eat when you want or need it most, easily, in just minutes. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. There's free shipping, plus your family could win a free traditional Thanksgiving dinner. Go now to freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, believe it or not, the first show into our ninth year of broadcasting is coming near to a conclusion, and it was really all off the cuff tonight. Keith Alexander let me know at about 3 o'clock this afternoon he wouldn't be able to make it in, and so we booked Winston to kind of fill in his stead, and Eddie was in for some extended play tonight, and we had Rob, a great guest, talking about practical advice. We covered a few news stories, but for the most part, it was all ad-lib this evening, which is fun to do from time to time. I mean, we never come into the studio with a script, but we normally have an idea of what we're going to talk about. Tonight, not so much, so I hope you appreciated it. We'll be back to a more routine performance, I guess, next week when Keith is back with us, and it's all back to the to normalcy. But, you know, it has been a good show tonight. And by the way, I want to say this very quickly before I toss it back to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Today, is Pat Buchanan's 75th birthday. Pat Buchanan is 75 years old today, born November 2nd, 1938. I sent Pat an email today. And there are very few people in the world that I could say that without this person, fill in the blank, there would be no political cesspool. But I can say without any hesitation, without Pat Buchanan, there would be no political cesspool. And we talked about that last week, the role he played in the cultivation of this show and my own political awakening. So happy birthday to Pat Buchanan for 75 years and the profound impact he's had on the lives of so many people, including myself. You've been proven right, my friend, on so many things. And I know you're nothing more than a racist, bigot, xenophobe, homophobe, just like all the rest of us, according to so many of our detractors. But I love you, and God bless you, and happy birthday to Pat Buchanan tonight. We celebrated a birthday a week ago. Pat Buchanan celebrates a birthday tonight, and my life has been better because of the influence he's had on me. And again, folks, none of you would be listening to the political cesspool tonight if it wasn't for Pat Buchanan. So keep that in mind as he celebrates 75 years, even older than Eddie Miller. Not many people are. But Eddie's still running marathons, though. I tell you, Pat looks good on TV. You know, I saw Pat on Fox last week, and he still looks good. But I don't know if he's running marathons like my friend is, Eddie Miller. And Eddie, you know, I know you're just a racist Nazi too, but that's why you do it. Now you're that's why you run these marathons that benefits children who have been afflicted with catastrophic illness like cancer, children of all races. That's why you run, though, because you're a Nazi. And anyway, that's how we spread the hate around here in the political cesspool. We send 66-year-old members of our staff on 26-mile marathon runs, spreading the hate. But Eddie, you know, the political cesspool survives based upon the benevolence of our listening audience. Four times a year we do a quarterly fundraising drive. The fourth and final of 2013 will kick off in December, so just a couple of weeks away. Although I do appreciate everyone who contributed to our birthday supplemental fund last week. You'll be receiving a thank you note from us in the coming days. But the political cesspool survives based upon that which our audience gives each and every quarter. Every quarter we're up for renewal, and if it wasn't for the financial contributions of this show, we wouldn't be here. So we take those contributions very seriously, and we certainly believe ourselves to be good stewards of those contributions. And because we hesitate to ask for monetary funds for anything but the most important of things, we seldom raise money for anything other than our very own show, which we certainly is the only show that is unapologetically pro-white on the mainstream airwaves. And what this show and this network is doing in cooperation with our partners in radio, I think we have the opportunity to really turn the tide. And the things that are coming up, you know, we're welcoming guests like Gary Sinise. We've got, you know, this talk radio a talk radio show. Yes, that's what we've got. But this television series that I'm going to be on, there's so many things that are popping for the political cesspool. That's what your contributions have made possible. But back to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. He's running for St. Jude, and we raised some money for him last year to run in the St. Jude Marathon. You have to raise a certain amount of money before they even let you run. This is a 66-year-old man who's running 26 miles. He's pledged to raise a certain amount. He has not quite gotten there yet. And we hope that the political cesspool audience between now and the next quarterly fundraising drive will lend a little bit of their generosity to Eddie's cause. This doesn't benefit the show, but it benefits something that Eddie has personally taken on as his own crusade. Last year, Eddie raised more money from the political cesspool audience than he did his own church. Much more, in fact. And he's pledged to raise $1,500 for St. Jude this year. He's about $400 short. If you go to our website in a couple of days, you will see an article that documents Eddie's work on behalf of the children of St. Jude and how you can donate. So we don't have that link available for you right now. Again, this is above and beyond what we're asking for in our quarterly drives. But folks, go to our website in a couple of days. You will see an article that documents what Eddie's doing, and you can donate to his cause. I know a lot of people listening did that last year. Eddie, fill in the blanks for me, please.
By the way, people, if any of you wonderful people can donate, there are two Eddie Millers on the St. Jude Heroes team. I run with the St. Jude Heroes team. My name, if you want to donate to my campaign, is Eddie L. Miller. I have my middle initial is L, so if you want to donate to my campaign here at the Political Success Pool, it's Eddie L. Miller. And listen.
Well, just very quickly, folks, there won't be any confusion. If you go to our website, say Tuesday or Wednesday, the direct link we'll make available to you will go to our Eddie Miller. So there shouldn't be any confusion about that.
Some people have been going into stjude.heroes.org/Eddie Miller, but it'd probably be better if you can wait and go to our website. People are getting back. I'd like to mention stuff. I'd like to put an explanation a point on what James said. Yes, I do. I love St. Jude. I love kids. I've worked with kids of all races. That's the God's truth. You can ask anybody that knows me. But I would like to put an explanation point on what something James said earlier. He said that there's nothing wrong with if you're white and you take pride in being white, I'll say this, there's nothing wrong if you love your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents, and if you take pride in your white ancestry and you love your children. I'll go further than that. I'll say that there's something wrong with a person. There's something really, really seriously wrong psychologically, mentally, spiritually, psychiatrically, if you do not love yourself more than you do, at least as much as the other races. I'll put it that way. If you don't love yourself just as much as you do blacks, Hispanics, Asians, there's something wrong with you. I mean, if you want to fight and defend your own progeny, your own people, if you're one of these people, for instance, in the Hollywood elite that they claim to be white, but they're always ready to jump on the anti-white bandwagon. They're always, doing these self-deprivation, self-hate campaigns because they're white. That's a serious mental disorder, I'm telling you, people. But I'm hope and pray, getting back to that, there's every kind of race you can imagine at St. Jude Hospital. I know this is kind of going down rabbit trails here, but there's Chinese, there's Mexicans, there's Albanians, we have Russians, we have Jews, we have blacks, and yes, we do have a lot of whites out there. The people that I worked with out there, the children that mostly have been white, but we have every race imaginable out there. And the reason I love St. Jude and the reason I have cried buckets of tears over St. Jude is James is right. I'm a Nazi. I'm a goose skinhead, goose stepping Nazi. But I'm begging you people, if you can, please help me on this St. Jude campaign. And you've never heard me ask for a dime on the Political Cesspool, but if you will, I would love you forever to help me. I'm getting close, but I'm still a little short. And I'm going to turn you over to James right now.
Again, folks, stay tuned to thepoliticalcesspool.org in the next couple of days, but certainly before our next program on Saturday night a week from now, and you'll get all the information about Eddie's crusade. You have to donate before what date, Eddie? November the 15th. So make it hastily. Eddie's about 400 short before he can qualify to run in his race. 26 miles at 66 years old. I don't know if I've walked 26 miles in my life, but Eddie's going to do it, and he's doing it for a good cause, and he's doing it as a host of the Political Cesspool radio program. In fact, if you go to his St. Jude Heroes webpage, it lists him as Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And this is a sort of an offshoot of his work here on the radio. It's what he does for the kids there at St. Jude. And, talking about kids, go look at this. Eddie and I were watching this film at thepoliticalcesspool.org earlier tonight. It's a Russian film that promotes white racial consciousness. It's so healthy, so beautiful. I mean, that's what we're all about. But at the same time, we're true humanitarians, I guess you could say, certainly more than those who claim themselves to be humanitarians, who are anti-white more than anything else. Eddie, a final word from you. And again, folks, just stay tuned to our website between now and next Saturday, and you'll know what Eddie's up to. Eddie, very quickly, the music's playing.
We don't hate anyone. We just happen to love ourselves as much as we love others. We hate no one. I promise you, before God, we don't. We just love ourselves as much as we do everybody else. Is that wrong, folks?
Well, maybe a little bit more than everybody else. But anyway, folks, God bless you. We'll talk to you next week. Okay.